Well, as we get into God's Word today, here's my thought. I want to be someone who pleases God. Amen? I want to be someone who I can stand in God's presence and be right with Him and know that I can talk to Jesus and there's nothing that separates me and God. I know that. I know He forgives me of my sin, but I also know that He calls me to live a holy life. There are things that I did before I was a Christian that I'm not supposed to do anymore. But the Bible, believe it or not, the Bible doesn't speak to everything that we face today in our culture. Okay? There are some issues that we face in our culture that we need to look at and say whether or not something is sin. And the Bible may not specifically state whether or not something is a sin. Here's an example, going to the movies. If you've been in church for a long period of time, you may remember back when you were a little kid, it was a sin to go to the movies. Anybody remember that? Right? It was a sin to go to the movies. Is going to the movies a sin? Well, does the Bible say thou shalt not go to the cinema? No, it doesn't say that. Okay? So going to the movies is just one of many issues we're going to look at today where we need to sit back and say, does the Bible tell us we can do this? And how can I decide whether or not something is sin if the Bible doesn't clearly say? Now, there are a lot of things in culture that today people say are acceptable, and they'll say that the Bible doesn't say when the Bible actually does say. But there are times when the Bible just doesn't say. Now, one of the things that people used to do, which, like in the case of movies, was the pastor would create rules. And the pastor would say, I'm going to clean up culture for you, so I'm going to give you my own top 100 commandments that you can add to the Ten Commandments. And then you can be right with God. So growing up, some of the commandments were women were not allowed to wear pants. So that was just a rule. Is that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible, but somebody created that rule. Now, was there a good intention in that rule? Well, yeah, maybe. But it's not right for the pastor to make up a bunch of rules that aren't in the Bible. Right? Don't you find it's a little bit of a problem there? I think God made up enough rules, right? Does anybody still have a hard time obeying all the Ten Commandments? Can I see your hands? Because I'm going to put mine up. Okay? If we can't get the ten down, why are we adding hundreds more? Right? The Pharisees in the New Testament time when Jesus, I believe the number was like 600 rules that they added to the 10. And if you can't handle the 10, let's not make it 20 or 30. Let's stick to the 10. Well, today we're going to, as we continue on in this series, we're going to talk about sin and how to determine whether or not something is sin. This is the next series and from Jacked Up to Jesus, a church's journey towards spiritual maturity. The church in the city of Corinth was a church that was surrounded by a bunch of influences that were very worldly, very ungodly. On Wednesday night, we showed a video that spoke about the church, and you really got to get a little bit of background of what it was like to be a Christian in that early day. It was bad. It was bad. The food in the market, most often the meat was actually meat that was already sacrificed to a demon or to a false god. Because the people were into paganism, the butcher would go, they would take the meat and they would kill it and they would sacrifice it to some false god, some demon, and then clean up the meat and sell it in the square. It'd be like a ShopRite in Corinth. So one of the questions was, can we buy meat at ShopRite? Because it's already been sacrificed to an idol. I'm a Christian, what am I supposed to do? Because we serve Jesus, but all the hamburger has already been set aside for idol worship, and I really want tacos, right? So Pastor Paul, what can I do in this situation? This church had a lot of questions that they wrote to Paul, and Paul wrote back responses to. So we're going to look at that today. First, here's my thesis for today. Here's the big statement that if you want to remember anything, this is it. And you can write this down, and we'll look at this again at the end. The big statement for today is, a Christ follower uses their freedom to love God and others with their lifestyle. A Christ follower uses their freedom to love God and others with their lifestyle. I tried really hard to make this concise, and this was about as small as I could shrink it down as we're going to look through the text today. If you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, but not just someone who calls yourself a Christian, but you really love Jesus and you're really seeking Him, there's freedoms that God has given you. But you don't use those freedoms to just please yourself. You use those freedoms to love God and love others. And you show that through your lifestyle, how you live. Let's talk about sin. Is it a sin? Is it a sin? Whatever particular thing you're looking at. The first question we have to ask ourselves is what? What do you think? You can help me with this one. What's the first question we need to ask ourselves if you're wondering if something is a sin or not? Awesome. Is it in the Bible? Question number one is, what does the Bible say? In some situations, the Bible is very clear. And it'll tell you, yes, it's a sin. And then you just know it's a sin. You don't even need to go on to question two. I'm going to show you five questions. But in some situations, you can just stop at question one. Right? But if the Bible really doesn't answer it, you know, and to be honest with you, what does the Bible say? It might be difficult for you to go through if you haven't spent a lot of time with the Bible. Maybe you don't know. What's a good thing you can do if you don't know if the Bible says it or not? What's that? Read it. Read the Bible's good. You said Google? Google's good with caution. Because you can find Christians who will say things are totally fine. Well, Christians, in loose terms, will say something isn't a sin that the Bible clearly says is. And we'll get into a few examples. But you're right, you can. I love Google as a tool to look up things in the Bible. If I can't find a verse and I know it, you could type a partial verse and Google's going to show me the verse better than my Bible software. Google works well. If you're wondering where our today's verse was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, click go. Google's going to say you forgot and strength, and that's in Mark chapter 12, verse 20. So I like Google for that case. But you're right, that's good. Read your Bible. Google, what else can you do if you're not sure? Yeah. Yeah, ask a fellow Christian or ask your pastor is a good one as well. Say, Pastor, how does the Bible speak on this issue? Well, that's a great thing to do. Because, you know, your friend may know, but your pastor's a great resource to use as well. And I'm fine with helping you through these theological issues. In fact, that's kind of one of my jobs as the pastor of the church. God has called me to be the shepherd. The Bible's picture is I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep. In other words, you're the ones under my care. And Jesus is the great shepherd. He's over me. But God has placed pastors in a position for you to say, hey, pastor, what does the Bible say on bowling? Is it a sin to go bowling? Or what does the Bible say on alcohol? Is it a sin to go drinking with my buddies at the bachelor party? What does the Bible say? And then your pastor can help you through some of those issues. Number two is conscience. If the Bible doesn't say, if you come, not that if you just don't know, but if you've really researched it, if you've talked to your pastor, and we get to a place where the Bible doesn't say, then we enter the area of conscience. And the question is, what does my conscience allow? There are some things, and we're going to look at examples in a moment, but there are some things that the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, but for me, personally, I'm not going to do that. Because for me, I believe it's not right before God. And the Bible tells me that if there's something that I feel is a sin, even though the Bible doesn't say it, I feel it's wrong, and I do it anyway, I'm sinning against God, you understand? Because I'm going against my conscience. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't do this, and you need to obey your conscience. Okay? Here, quick example. Going to lunch with friends at work. Maybe the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't go to lunch with these friends from work. But in your heart, you just get a feeling of, I don't need to be around these people. And then if the Lord is leading you to say no, you need to say no. Right? Do you understand? Sometimes it's you might not have a verse, but you just know this isn't what God wants you to do. That's why God has given you a conscience. But even greater than that, if you're a Christian, it's not just your conscience. It's something that the world doesn't have, and that's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. It's a part of God living within your heart that'll teach you what to do. And you need to obey that. How about number three? What if you're fine with your conscience? Then you have to ask the question. If you didn't get a no yet, if it's not a sin yet, number three is my weakness. What does my weakness require? All of us are strong in some areas and weak in others. We all are. It's not wrong to think that you have a weakness. All of us are strong in some areas where there can be temptations that we're around and maybe we'll never give in to these temptations. But on the other hand, we all have weaknesses where if we set ourselves up, we're going to trip up or we're going to be more prone to fall short in sin. So maybe whatever it is you're talking about, maybe it's not a sin to do that particular thing, but you're getting a little bit too close to where your weakness is. Does that make sense? Anybody? Where you know the Bible doesn't say, conscience-wise, you think, okay, it's okay, but you could trip up here, and that's not a good thing. Number four, my weaker friend. What does my weaker friend allow? Will this hurt my weaker friend? Here's the thought. You have people who are weak. You're weak in some areas and not in others. Your friend might be weak in an area that you're strong. Well, you need to pay attention. And if you can go do something that's fine, you're strong in this area. If you take your friend who's weak, you may trip them up and hurt them in the faith. You may hurt them. We're going to come back and walk through these and give specific examples. But that's the next question. The last one, number five, is beneficial. Is this beneficial? 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul kind of touches on this issue again two chapters from now. But let me just share this thought with you. Paul says, you know, some things you're allowed to do, and there's a lot of things you can do, but they're not all beneficial. That sure, maybe it's not a sin for you to do certain things, but at some point, it doesn't help you to become what God wants you to become. You know? What could be an example of this real quickly? Let's just say playing video games. Are video games a sin? Well, some of them are. It depends really what you're doing in the game. But there's a whole lot of them that aren't sinful. But maybe you get to the end and you're like, is this beneficial? Well, if you're not going to work, probably not. If you're sitting home playing video games all the time, right? Or if you're missing out on your family because you're addicted to some game, that's not beneficial for you. Is it a sin? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but you know, it's not a good thing. It's not going to benefit your life. So looking at these five things, we're now going to walk through 1 Corinthians 8. You can open up your Bibles. We're going to read this chapter in context of these questions. If you missed the questions, I'm going to put them back up in a minute. And if you missed your big thesis thought, I'm putting that back up as well at the end. So you can just, don't worry, you'll see that again. But open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to walk through this chapter. Then we're going to come back and talk about some of these issues. Again, the church had a question for Paul. In particular, it was about food sacrifice to idols? Can we eat this food? What do we do about this, Pastor Paul? And Paul responded to them. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says, "Now regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers really doesn't know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes." Verse 4. So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people may actually worship many gods and many lords, but we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for Him. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. Verse 9. "But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker consciences to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble." We're going to look back at our five questions here that we opened up with as we walk through this passage. See, this church, they understood the Bible. They had, not in everything, because this is a big book where Paul writes a lot of stuff, but in this area, the food sacrifice to idols, a lot of the people in the church knew, you know what, this is fine, an idol's no big deal. It's not really a god, so I can eat it and it's fine because I love Jesus and I'm not going to worry about the idol. And Paul cautions them, as we saw when we opened up, you know what, this knowledge that you have, you might think it's important, but you need to be careful because you could hurt other people, right? The person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. He's like, you might know it's not a sin to do this stuff, but you need to be careful about those people who are around you. And going through verse 5, of course, we see, he says, you know what? There's only one Lord. Verse 6, there's only one God who created everything. And there's only one Lord, Jesus, through whom God made everything and to whom God gave us life. He says, God created everything. There's only one God. There's only one true God, and that's God. And Jesus gave us life. He's changed us. So all these idols that people are worshiping, like, and in their day it would be a rock, and they would pray to the rock, and they'd carve out a face in it, and they would kill an animal in front of the rock. And in this culture, all the meat basically went through the pagan temple before it went to the market. So here in this culture, it was a big deal because new people were coming to the Lord. They're showing up, coming to church, saying, okay, I love Jesus now. Why are you eating hamburgers? Because I used to eat hamburgers when I was a sinner. When I would worship the idol, I would eat that stuff. And now that I'm a Christian, you're eating the same stuff that I ate before. And it bothers me. And this is where Paul is addressing his thoughts. Not all believers know this in verse 7. Some are accustomed to thinking idols are real. Some of the people think that that's a real god. And it says, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. Paul said in verse 8, it's true, God's not going to love us anymore if we eat the meat or if we don't eat the meat. It doesn't really matter. But in the midst of your freedom, you're hurting somebody else. And a new believer will come in and think you're just being a hypocrite. And you're hurting them. Verse 9, be careful that your freedom doesn't cause someone to stumble. Be careful that your freedom doesn't mess somebody up. You may have superior knowledge. He says you might know more Bible. But if you don't love somebody else, you're going to hurt them. You're going to destroy the weak believer. Do you see that end of verse 11? I'm just highlighting this before we move on to bring the big pictures back out. It says the weak believer, the new Christian, can be destroyed. Verse 12 says if you're hurting your weak brother, which would be verse number 4 on my questionnaire, this is where they were stumbling. Okay. Number 4, they didn't care about their weaker friend. Paul says if you destroy them, in verse 12, you're sinning against them. End of verse 12, you're also sinning against who? Christ. So Paul says it's a big deal. When you look at issues, maybe the Bible says it's okay. One of the things you need to remember is, who's around you? And are you going to affect somebody else? Verse 13, Paul gives us the clarity. He says, if what I eat causes someone, another believer, to sin, I'll never eat meat as long as I live. For I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. Paul says, you know what? It's just not worth it. Could I fight and say, I have the freedom to do this? Yeah. But you better be careful you don't destroy somebody else. Because what you're doing isn't that important. Paul says hamburgers aren't that important. Okay? It's not that important. To sin against another believer? To destroy them? To sin against Christ? It's not that important. So what we just read really highlights number 4. And that's where they were weak. Basically, freedoms are important, but your friends are more important. So, all right. Does that make sense? Anybody good there? All right, so let's talk about some practical issues before we move on, okay? And we're going to put some of these to the test. Now, some of these things I'm going to go through are going to be controversial, okay? Some of these things, if you grew up in church, you're going to say, yeah, no, that's a sin because they preached that was a sin when I was a kid. But there's not really a verse for it. So I'm going to do my best to be honest with you. And in doing so, I want to put out this disclaimer. I do not want anybody here today to think something's a sin and have me right now give you a green light to go do it. Well, Pastor said it really wasn't a sin. Woohoo! No. If in your heart, no, this isn't right. Then you're on number 2. And that means it's a sin to you. Because James 4:17 says, if you know what to do and you don't do it, it's a sin. So that picks our conscience. God knows that if he puts it in our heart what to do or what not to do and we don't do it, it's sinful anyway. So there are some things that while the Bible may not say it, it's a conscience issue. Don't do it. So I don't want to give you freedom to sin today. That's not the point. But I want to help train you to think theologically correct through the issues that we're moving on with life. So I don't want to give you a green light to sin. I also don't want to have you go around and be a cop to tell everybody else that something is a sin, even though it may not be a sin. Okay? Here's an example for that. When I first started going to Malaga Assembly, I had long hair down to here. Long hair in my eyes, long hair down here. John and Millie, remember? Yeah, okay? Just did. When I went to the church, people loved me. Okay? And they hugged me. And here I am, leather jacket, Harley Davidson t-shirt on, long hair, look like I just left some band, walking to the church, and the older people that didn't like my hair, they didn't like my jacket, didn't like my t-shirt, probably didn't think jeans were really good to wear in church, probably didn't like my white sneakers. I'm sure they weren't listening to the music that I listened to. But they gave me a hug and loved on me anyway. And that changed my life. And to be honest with you, I was even a Christian that day. I was a Christian before I went to the church. I was a Christian and had long hair and a leather jacket. But for some people, they would think you can't be a Christian and have long hair and a leather jacket. Well, you can. You know? And at some point, it was time to shave it. But, well, cut it. I didn't shave it, but. You know? Just, you don't need to be the cop to tell people what's sin or not. If it's in the Bible, then it's a different issue. Then we do it with love. If it's not in the Bible, pray. But also realize the Holy Spirit that's within you is in the other person, right? And before you become the police officer who tells the ladies in church their dresses are too short, remember the Holy Spirit is alive within them. And the Holy Spirit will tell them. And it's possible that if that happens, which I don't think that happens at all in our church, but if somebody came in, if a lady came in and her dress was too short, she may not have other clothes. And I would rather have her come in and learn how to be a Christian, you know, and have some ladies in her church who love Jesus who can help, but not be judgmental, right? All right. I'm not advocating women dressing crazy either, because we'd have a meeting like, we got to do something, guys. but you understand, with love, right? With love. Jesus was accused of hanging out with the prostitutes. I'm sure they didn't dress the best, but Jesus loved them and their lives were changed. So, all right, let's think through some issues here. Please don't stone me, okay? But let's go through some issues here. Issue number one, let's just start with this one. Wow, I don't want to start with that one. That's the big one. I want to start with an easy one. Let's start with homosexuality. Big one. Let's start with that one. Is it a sin? Well, let's look at number one. What does the Bible say? Can I just make it short? The Bible says clearly it's a sin. A million times. Doesn't mean we hate them. No, we love them and want them to repent. The Bible says a whole lot of things are a sin. So it's not just that. But in that area, it does say clearly. And I can show you later, you know, a multitude of times. So trust me. But if you want the references, I'll be more than glad to give you the references. Churches that say it's not, to be honest with you, they're ignoring a whole lot of Scripture. You could go and do maybe a Google search and type that word and Bible verse after, and you're going to get, you know, a lot. It's just, it's there. So, number one, that's no. How about, since we've dealt 8 weeks on being a good married couple and all that, and talked about sex, how about, number one, is sex a sin? No, if it's within marriage. How about casual sex? How about, yes. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says yes. Bible calls it fornication, is sex outside of marriage. Yes, that there is a verse for that one. How about with somebody other than your spouse? Well, if you're already married, we call that adultery. Yes, there's a verse for that one. So you could say, well, it's 2011. Yeah, but there's still a verse. So you could say what you want to say. There's still a verse. Okay? Here we go. Alcohol. Drinking alcohol. Let's talk about this one. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say it's a sin to drink alcohol? When I grew up, that's what I heard. Now, I say all this to say I don't drink. Okay? So I'm just throwing it out there to start with. Is it a sin to drink alcohol? Well, the Bible does not say it's a sin to drink alcohol. I have a pastor friend who, great guy, loves the Lord. He really wishes the Bible said it. That it was a sin to drink alcohol. I think I kind of do too, but the Bible doesn't say it. So I'm just going to be honest with you. The Bible says, does not say drinking alcohol is a sin. The Bible says, though, when you look at this, drunkenness is a sin. Okay. So, can you have a drink and not get buzzed like at dinner time? Let's just say we all go to Italy just because that's in my mind. That's, you know, it would be nice, right? You go to Italy, you get some nice, great food. Somebody have a glass of wine with their pasta. And a whole family will do it, right, Lino? Like kids and everybody? Is that a sin? Well, in the Bible, that's not a sin. How about if they all get plastered drunk? Well, then that's a sin. Okay? Because there is a verse for that. But drinking alcohol is not a sin, providing you're not getting drunk. Now, how about, let's look at our nation. Our nation's way different than Italy. Because we had this thing called prohibition, where everybody in our nation knew alcohol led to depravity. I mean, it's fact. It was so much of a fact that was it the 20s where they outlawed alcohol and you could not buy or sell alcohol anywhere except in speakeasies, right? Anybody used to frequent a speakeasy? No? Would you admit it? You're not that old? Okay. You would go in, do the special knock, they'd let you in, right? And that's how the mob was created, selling liquor, bootlegging, right? In our nation, alcohol had a whole different look about it. Because in America, we're just a land of excess. And I think Americans probably don't know how to treat alcohol like people do in Europe. I'm just guessing. I've never been to Europe, but I'm guessing that. Right? Would you agree, Lino, that we just treat it differently? Yeah, I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't want to drink, okay? But in our country, you see the Coors Light commercial, and it's at a football game, and everybody's drunk 4 hours before the game starts. That is way different than a glass of wine with your pasta. So we can have missionaries serving the Lord, and can a missionary have a glass of wine with their pasta if it's offered to them? You know, if I was a missionary and it's offered to me and I don't want to offend the people, to be honest with you, I would struggle with that because this is where I stand on alcohol. For me, it's a conscience issue. It's number two. And it really is a strong conscience issue with me. For me personally, because I've seen alcohol just mess people up. And I think it's unnecessary. I think I can, you know, I can drink other stuff. You know, and people have said, well, they only drank alcohol on Bible days because it would last longer. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be true. It might not be true. I don't know. But I know today there's a lot of choices. And I just don't need to. So for me, it's a conscience issue. You know, it really is. And in the Bible, you can see where it warns of wine and warns of alcohol, particularly in Proverbs. But it's really pointed towards excess. It's really pointing towards getting a buzz. And how you forget who you are and you get in fights and you don't know how you had a black eye. You know, that's in the Bible. Wake up. What happened, huh? It's in Proverbs. Solomon's writing to his son saying, you know, be careful with this stuff. Don't be given to too much wine. Now, Paul tells Timothy in the New Testament to have a little bit of wine with his supper. Because Timothy had stomach problems. And the alcohol would help his stomach. Much like maybe if you have a cold and you take NyQuil, which has alcohol in it. You know? But, you know, that's where I stand on that issue. For me, it's a conscience issue. Let's walk through this issue with other things because it didn't just stop at number one. It's a conscience issue. So someone may be able to say, you know what, I love Jesus. I've never been drunk. I don't get drunk. I'm just having a glass of wine with my pasta. It's not a conscience issue for me. And what should I do? Should I look bad at that person? No, it's not. I need to respect you. You can still love Jesus and do that. Number three, my weakness. Okay, let's look at number three. Let's say, for example, I used to be an alcoholic, which I wasn't, but let's just say that I was. Okay? You can look in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say I shouldn't drink. My conscience, because I've been renewed by the Scripture, might say, I think it's okay before God. I don't see any reason why I can't have a glass of wine with my pasta. But number three says, oh, I'm weak in this area. If you're weak in this area and you were an alcoholic, or if it reminds you of your past lifestyle, then you need to say, no, I won't do this. Do you understand that? Because you don't want to have that drink that could begin you down a road to your past life and destroy you. So you say, no. Any questions there? Number four, what if you're going out to eat? You don't mind having a glass of wine with your pasta, but you have a buddy who used to be an alcoholic and you're going to dinner with your buddy. Are you free in Christ to order a glass of wine? Well, no for me, because it's my conscience issue. But, you know, I guess. But how about if your buddy was an alcoholic? Should you be drinking in front of your buddy? No. Do you see that? That is really the issue that Paul dealt with in his day, was these people didn't care about their buddies. And they would have an open glass of... Well, in their day it was meat, but it's equivalent to having an open glass of wine on a table and doing that in front of your buddy. Which, that's not right, right? And when it's all said and done, that's sinful, right? Because you can destroy them. Send them back towards drinking. We understand that, right? Number five, when it's all said and done, is it beneficial? Does it really matter that much? Is it going to help you? Is it worth taking a chance on hurting other people to drink? Like, is it really that big of a deal for you? You know? And in that case, I think we should answer that. And with wisdom and think it through. Does that make sense? Man, I picked a tough issue to start with. All right, let's look at another one. Dancing. Dancing. Is dancing a sin? Well, does the Bible say you shouldn't dance? Well, growing up, I heard the Bible say, thou shalt not dance. So if you move your hips in rhythm, which the Lord did not give me rhythm. But if the Lord gave you rhythm, if you move your hips in rhythm, sinful. Go into hell. That's what I heard. When you look in the Bible, you see people dancing, worshiping God. So, dancing's not a sin. Okay? Conscience issue. What if you feel it is? Well, wait. Let's define, though, what kind of dancing we're talking about, too. Because some dancing can be a sin. Okay? If you're going to a club and you're doing the lambada or whatever they have now, and you're rubbing up against people that aren't your spouse, and it's some sexually gyrating thing, then I think that just falls in the sin category to begin with, okay? Because you're... And if you go dressed short skirt, you know, I'm glad guys don't dress with short clothes. Speedo? No. But... If you're going, the Bible speaks that people should dress modestly. So you can look at the Bible and say, you know what, women, you shouldn't be letting all your stuff hang out. Guys, you neither. Because the Bible speaks on that. But is it a sin to dance? It kind of depends what it is. But can if you're not, you know, if it's not nasty, then I guess it's not. But what's your weakness? If you go with somebody and all of a sudden maybe you were saved from a lifestyle in which you went out dancing and clubbing all the time, you might be better off just not even trying to look for your freedom in that and just grow in the Lord. You understand? Because you don't want to toy around and go back to your old lifestyle. Or what if you have a friend, a new Christian, or just an older Christian that just got saved? Well, you don't want to take them out to a Christian form of a club and just kind of turn them back to their old lifestyle either. You have to ask if it's beneficial. Any questions there? Are we good? How about bowling? Right? bowling alleys were known as really seedy, dirty, nasty places, right? Is it a sin to go bowling? Anybody remember that being a sin to go bowling or going to the movies or something? Yeah? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not bowl. Doesn't say it. Okay? What does your conscience allow? I like to bowl. I stink at it, and I'm also cheap. So the day I bought a Wii, and they had bowling on my Wii, I don't think I've ever been in a bowling alley again. Because I am cheap. And I can bowl for free at home in front of my TV. What? But what does your conscience allow? I'm fine with bowling. We used to have a church bowling league. So I'm fine with bowling. Do we bowl? We were bowling, we used to go to Glassboro and they would sell liquor there. And there's probably guys who were jacked up drunk next to us. But our church league wasn't drinking. We're fine. We're just bowling. Okay? We were just bowling. Now, I think it was okay. I don't know. We didn't get in any fights. What if you get so competitive, though, you start fist fighting? Well, then you have other issues. Does it happen? Absolutely happens. Church softball leagues, are they sinful? Maybe, because church is getting into fist fights. You're out, safe. You'll have a pastor plow somebody over. And they'll say, they're not from my church. I don't care. You know, you plow down the nice Baptist from down the road who you're playing in softball. Horrible. Horrible. Is it sinful? That is. Right? What if you have a buddy who gets so upset he wants to start fighting people? True story. That happened in our church once. We played basketball against Malaga. Talk about being stuck in the middle. My old church against my new church. And people were like, going to fight. And I'm like, guys, what in the world? My new church almost beat up my old church. And there was a guy who I know, you know what? He would probably be the weaker friend who I talked to him after. He just got so upset. He couldn't control himself. And it was on, man. You know, I'm like, dude, you gotta calm down, man. It's no big deal. Calm down. But he would have been the weaker friend, who in that case, is it beneficial? It wasn't beneficial at that point. So it's not worth playing. Maybe he shouldn't have played. Or maybe as a church, we just won't do that anymore. You know, or won't do it for a while, or we'll just do it and not invite him. Something. But, you know, so... All right, tattoos. Is it a sin to get a tattoo? Yes, says the man with tattoos, right?
Before you knew.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, the Bible really doesn't say specifically tattoos or body piercings. It doesn't really say. Okay, and I've heard people say in other cultures they would tattoo the dead and they're trying to relate that to that. But when people get tattooed now, it's not because they're dead, it's because they want something cool on their arm. You know? Do I have any tattoos? No. Why? Because it's a Bible sin issue? No, because I'm a wimp. And I don't like needles, and I don't want 6,000 needles all at once. You know, my dad has tattoos, you know, a lot of them. Sin, conscience issue. For some people, though, it may be a big conscience issue. And they may say, you know what, I just don't think it's right because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and we're desecrating the temple of the Holy Spirit. If that's where you stand, that's awesome. You know what? Obey the Holy Spirit within you. And if you get a tattoo and you think it's wrong, you're sinning. And God will judge you for sinning. Because God will say, I put in your heart that it's wrong, so you don't do that. Okay? So I'm not trying to encourage us to all get tatted up, solid rock on our arm. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm just trying to be real. Now, for some, your friends, okay, if it's a weakness for you, it could be that was an old lifestyle that God delivered you from, and getting a tattoo will take you back there, then you shouldn't do it. Or you may have a friend of yours who was from a lifestyle that it was involved, that had a lot to do with tattoos, and that could be a step towards them backsliding, if you want to use that word, then don't do it, or don't take them with you. You know? Body piercings. It doesn't really say. Because I'm sitting at Valley Forge in a class where we would discuss this. Can you get a tattoo? People are like, I don't know. Yeah, no. Well, there's really not a real clear answer. Can I get body piercings? So we'd have a dude with Jesus painted on his back real big, and he's got hoops like crazy big, and he's sitting in class trying to be a pastor. That's not my deal. Why don't I have big hoops? Because I'm a wimp. Plus, I don't want to put my arm through my ear trying to put my jacket on. I just think if I'm like this, hanging from my ears, I'm just thinking that would hurt. But is it a sin? No. Can they love Jesus? Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but they can love Jesus. So we would work through on some of these other issues here. Hairstyle, right? What do you think, Carlos?
Best hairstyle.
I'll tell you what, the bald brotherhood is growing within our church. Is it a sin to be bald? I hope not. But for me, it's a conscience issue. I don't want to go bald. Yeah, so it's a conscience issue for me. I'll get my hair replanted from my back to my head. It'll be... All right, let's deal with another issue. Smoking. I grew up smoking sin. What does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't mention tobacco. Doesn't speak on smoking. Doesn't. For some of you, that's uncomfortable. But it just really doesn't. Now, you can take that, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit thing. And I understand that. But how many times has the person who said that been a really fat pastor who's a glutton, and the Bible actually does speak on gluttony? Okay? So it's really convenient for the glutton who doesn't smoke to ignore gluttony, which is in the Bible, and point out smoking that's not. So that being said, do I smoke? No, I've never smoked, and I'm glad that I've never smoked. But if we walk through this issue, what does the Bible say? It really doesn't say. Should we take care of our bodies, though? I believe we should. Okay? But what the Bible doesn't say, conscience issue. For some of you, it's a conscience issue. The Holy Spirit within you tells you yes or no. And I'm not trying to change that today because you should hang on to your conscience. In fact, the Bible also speaks of people who've allowed their consciences to be seared, where they disobey where God is leading them, and they become calloused. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to obey your conscience. Your weakness. What does your weakness require? Is smoking something that's going to hurt you? You know, and by hurt you, I mean cause you to fall into sin. Is it an association to your past life? How about your weaker friend? Let's say you smoke, and you have a friend who's trying to stop. Should you smoke in front of them? No. You understand? Because there's no love in that. Number five, what's beneficial? Is it beneficial? We probably say not. But I'm not going to look and point it out and say this is a sin that'll keep you from heaven, because I don't have a verse to say that. And you can find a pastor who will tell you there's a verse when there's not. And if I find one, I'll let you know. But I don't want to just make it up, and I don't want to lie to you, because I want to be honest with you. I could hang up and make up another long list of rules that says, thou shalt not smoke. But that's legalism. I don't want to do that, and I don't think God wants me to do that. He wants you to make that determination. But I do want to say this. With smoking, it hurts you. It destroys you. And just my heart in this, to be honest with you, with love, is that I would like to see those within our church, if they want to quit, quit. And get the help from others in our church. Now, there's a lot of people in our church that smoke. I mean, there's a lot. There might be a lot more than in other churches. I don't know. Does that worry me? No, I think it's a great thing that people are coming to the Lord. But I want to see you healthy. And I want to see you around for a long time. You know? I really do. And to say that, I say all that to say we're not going to look at somebody who smokes and says they're less holy than I am. And they don't really love Jesus. Because that's not fair. I've never been a smoker. I don't understand even the addiction part of it. I don't understand it. So it's not right for me to sit back and judge. But, you know, saying all that, I want to say, let's live for Jesus together. You know? And we're not going to judge if that's your thing. Because I don't have a verse, and it would just be wrong to. Does that make sense? All right. Restaurants that serve alcohol. Big deal. I have a relative who won't go to any restaurant that serves alcohol. Because he really believed alcohol was a sin, which is fine. It's a conscience issue. I understand that. Me knowing that, if we're going to have a family party, we're not going to have it at the Texas Roadhouse. Because they serve alcohol and he wouldn't go. And it would be wrong to say, what's wrong with you? We're free in Christ. It should just be wrong. So we wouldn't do that. You know? So that said, I don't drink. But, you know, for some, even going to the restaurant at all is a pull. And they should not go. Because then it's a sin. Does that make sense? We've kind of dealt with that issue. Pool tables. Is it a sin to have a pool table? It was kind of a big deal at Malaga. One of the big things that I did when I was there was brought a pool table in the church. Well, I think some people weren't real happy about the pool table at first. I had to soften them up a little bit. But does the Bible say it's a sin? No. But in their conscience, they thought pool halls. They thought gambling. They thought alcohol and loose women. That's what they thought. Thought saloon. And in their case, you know, I didn't ask them if they wanted to shoot around a pool with me. But also, this is where young people can be very arrogant. And that's not me. But I've seen other youth pastors show up where they just need to deal with it. Because we're free in Christ. We can have a pool table. They just need to deal with it. And I'm thinking, you're a little weasel. Because the people who tithed and paid for the church, you're now going to come in and insult them because you have new knowledge, as Paul was kind of saying, early 1 Corinthians 8. That's wrong. So it's not worth fighting for with a pool table. You need to respect those who have come before you, and I'm a strong believer in that. I think young people today need to respect older people, don't they? Anybody else agree? And even in a church, if a church is moving more contemporary, you can't throw out all the old saints that actually made the church there. You know? How stupid is that? It's ridiculous. It's so short-sighted. It's unbelievable. So anyway, that being said, we had the pool table. After a while, it was fine. Everybody was fine with it. And we were able to prove ourselves to be faithful. And it was okay. If I allowed the kids to gamble, or if I bet them, all right, let's see if you can beat Pastor, then it would be a different story. But, you know, no, the Bible doesn't really say that. Let's see. How about cussing? What's the Bible say? Are we allowed to cuss? Okay, well, the Bible actually speaks of us not having coarse language. Okay? So, the Bible actually does guard against what we say. James tells us that if salt water and fresh water can't come from the same well, we should not allow praises and curses to come out of the same mouth. So yes, your language should influence you. Are there pastors today who cuss? Unfortunately, there are. But yeah, that's something that we do have a verse for. How about lying? What do you think? We have a verse for lying, right? Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. So you understand that stops at number one. I don't care what your conscience says. Number one says it's a sin, so we don't even need to talk about this anymore. It's not whether or not you're okay with lying. It's not your weakness. It's number one killed that debate. Cheating. Yeah, Bible speaks of that, right? Drunkenness. Yeah, we talked about that. Stealing. Yeah. Cremation. Here's another modern issue. Well, what does the Bible say on cremation? Well, to be honest with you, the Bible really doesn't speak of cremation. Really doesn't say. So I get this question a lot. Well, what should we do? Is it a sin to be cremated? Well, you know what? Here's the big sin is to die not knowing Jesus. Right? So whether or not you lived your life, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, whatever happens to your body after that, it doesn't really matter because you're in heaven with the Lord. Okay? Now, am I an advocate for cremation? I don't know. I grew up and we didn't do that. So it's a little weird for me. But any more moving forward, if Jesus shouldn't come back today, people are being cremated more and more because they can't afford to open up the ground. So how horrible is it to think your grandpa loved Jesus his whole life and then he dies, the family cremates him and grandpa's going to hell? That would be torturous to have on your mind. Well, that's just not true, though. That's not true. Should we treat the body reverently? Yeah. Yes, yes. But in our culture, though, things are changing where people just can't afford to be buried. Me, I guess when I die, I think I want to go the old-fashioned way. Get the box. You can get a cheap box. You know, cardboard, fine. I think I would like a stone just so somebody can say, "Here lies Jim." You know, I don't know. It's just... But it's not a sin, you know. If somebody wants to just throw me in a chipper and put me in the bay, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to think about. It's really odd. But God can take care of it. What happens when people die in a plane crash and there's no body? You think Jesus is going to have a hard time resurrecting them at the end? No, Jesus is not going to get in heaven. He's not in heaven saying, "Another plane crash. Like I don't have enough to do." Right? There's pieces everywhere. And they're all mixed up. What am I going to do? Jesus is fine. Will He resurrect your body? Absolutely. It will be resurrected. And He can pick up the pieces from the molecules in the ocean. It's no big deal to Jesus. He will resurrect you if you know Him. So while cremation, it doesn't say in the Bible, how about your conscience? Then you need to obey your conscience, right? You see the other weaker friend. Am I going to get in an argument and fight with somebody over cremation? No. No. Because I love my Christian friend more than I care about cremation. You know? But I'm not going to make up a verse. But, you know, it's one of those issues that we deal with. Anybody have that issue before? You've talked about that with somebody? I kind of get that question a lot. Jesus can resurrect your body. And sometimes it's a practical thing and the family just really can't afford to do anything else. And it's evil to tell them that it's sinful and put extra guilt on them when there's nothing they can do. That's just not a good thing. Moving forward, almost done. I think I'm almost done here. Playing cards. Is playing cards a sin? Right? When I was a kid, playing cards were a sin. If you had a pack of cards, it was sinful. And then it's really weird when you see Christians when nobody else is looking, let's play pinochle. Like, I thought you said it was a sin, you know? Is it a sin to play cards? You know what? It depends what you're doing. If it's tarot cards, sin, okay? If it's fortune telling, it's sin. If you're just playing Go Fish, I think it's just a game. The Bible really doesn't speak on that. But what if your conscience says, you know what? I grew up, man, we weren't allowed to have them. Something just doesn't feel right. Then don't play. Don't go against your conscience. What if you have a friend who feels it's wrong? Do you get in a fight with them? Well, we've talked about this for an hour, right? No, you don't say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you play Go Fish with me? What's wrong? You have freedom in Christ. You're a fuddy-duddy. You don't do that. No, you just love on them anyway. Playing video games. Are video games a sin? Depends on what they are, right? I don't have a verse that says, thou shalt not play video games. But I have a Bible that tells us not to do a whole lot of stuff. And if you're doing them on a video game, I think it still kind of counts. Okay? And there's some bad video games out there. Jesus said you commit adultery by what? Just looking at somebody with lust. So Jesus says if you're looking with lust, you've committed adultery. The object could be a person. It could be an animated girl on a video game. Lust is lust. It can be sin. Okay? If you have anger in your heart, like real anger in your heart to a point where you're just imagining choking somebody to death, Jesus said you're going to stand before him as if you committed murder. So if you're playing a video game where, like, old video game now, but Grand Theft Auto was the big thing years ago, where they would take prostitutes, punch them in the face, rape them, and steal their money in the video game. I haven't played the game, but you know it's true. I mean, you've seen it. Where you would go, I guess you would pick up a prostitute in your car, press A repeatedly to punch her in the face, and to rape her, steal her money, so you can have more fake money in the video game. Is that sinful? I would say, yeah. I would say, as a Christian, born again, I love Jesus, you're not going to do that. I don't think you're going to leave church praying in the Holy Spirit, praising God, and go home and do that. I just don't do that. Right? That doesn't even make sense. Because your conscience tells you that's not right. You would not leave praying in the Spirit and punching virtual prostitutes on a video game. You wouldn't make that connection. So therefore, your conscience tells you it's wrong. Now, how about playing a war game on your video thing? Is war a sin? Well, there's a lot of war in the Bible. And there's times when we need to go to war. There's times when our nation fights. I don't think being a soldier is a sin. How about if you kill somebody on a battlefield? Is that a sin? I don't think so. Because you're fighting underneath of orders, serving the military. And in the Bible, a lot of people fought in wars and a lot of people died. The Old Testament is a very bloody book. So if you're playing a video game where you're playing as a World War II guy and you're going to war and you're fighting against the Nazis, is it a sin to play the game? I don't think so. But I would use a caution, because any more video games are getting more and more violent. And there comes a point where the realism becomes disturbing. Where I think, you know what, there's a point where it's just too much. Where it's not really a game anymore. Where you're kind of practicing killing people. Do you know what I mean? And there's a point where you're like, yeah, and that's me. But you know what, that's not a Bible verse. That's number two for me. That's a conscience issue. Where I have Call of Duty 3 on my Wii that I actually like the game. You're playing as a soldier. It's a great game. It's based on history. But it's not ultra-violent, nasty. And when I see some of the other games, I'm like, no. And for me, with language, I don't like video games to cuss at me. I don't want some guy to drop the F-bomb through my Nintendo. And that happens. And for me, I don't have a verse that says, thou shalt not cuss through thy PS3 or Xbox. I don't have that verse. But I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do it. So I don't buy those games. My game is rated T. The new version is rated M, which is means just they're going to cuss at me more. Get in the thing. He's yelling at me. I don't need you to cuss at me. My wife does it enough. I'm kidding. She does not. That was a joke. But I don't, until I get home. Then it's cause for a whooping. No, but seriously, I just don't need to do that. Is it a sin to watch rated R movies? Well, growing up, it absolutely was a sin to watch rated R movies. Does the Bible say that? No, the Bible doesn't say that. Where am I on that issue? For me, I've chosen in my life, as of a long time ago, I mean, it was after the first Matrix movie. I thought that movie was awesome. Then at some point after that, it was rated R, at some point after that, I said, you know what? I don't think the Lord wants me watching rated R stuff anymore. Just because a lot of it's foul and nasty. So I've just decided in my own life, I'm just not going to watch a rated R movie. I just don't. If it comes on TV and they filter it, then it's a little different story. Although they don't really filter much anymore. But for me, that's where I am on that issue. It's a conscience issue. Do I think I would go to hell if I watched an R-rated movie? No. But for me, I just don't need to hear the coarse language in my living room. I wouldn't let somebody sit on my couch and drop that word. And I just don't want to let them stand on the little box on my floor and drop those words. And I don't want my wife being exposed to it, and I don't want my daughter being exposed to it. So for me, it's a conscience issue. Are there churches where pastors say it's a sin? Yeah. Do they have a verse? No. But it's a conscience issue. Now, am I going to go to another Christian and say you're wrong if you watch, you know, whatever movie? No, I'm not going to do that. But for me, it's just between me and the Lord. If God's called me to be a leader of men and women, that I'm striving to be holy before the Lord. Now, I say that in complete humility, that I'm a mess, but I'm striving to live for Jesus. And that's just one of those places where I did that. Any questions on any of that stuff today? Anybody? How about the beach? Awesome. Good question. When I was a kid, the beach was a sin. Big time sin. Is there a verse? No verse. Now, I love the beach. Okay, now I love the beach and I go to the beach. I had white albino chicken legs. I still have them pretty white. But I mean, like, out. Because for us, being a kid, it was a sin to wear shorts. I didn't wear shorts till I was like 19. There is no verse. Thou shalt not wear shorts. There's no verse. But it was a sin. Weirdest thing, it was a sin because I could be 10 with shorts and some lady might have an unclean thought about me. So I wasn't allowed to wear shorts. I don't even follow that logic. First of all, she should be in jail if that's the thought. I mean, really. But I think I was first dating my wife and I'm getting my first pair of shorts. And I'm like, look at my legs. I mean, it was like raw, off-brand chicken. You know, like the breasts when you have the fat on there and they pulled it. That was my legs. And it still is in a lot of ways. Okay? It's not a good sight. It just is not. You're like, man. Just not a good... That was... Because it was a sin to wear shorts. It was a sin to go to the beach. That for some reason, God created the land. God created the water. But where they come together, Satan created it. That was kind of the thought. No, that's not true. You can go to the beach. I love standing in the sand. And when the waves come in and it goes out and pulls the sand from underneath of my feet. To be honest with you, I kind of sense the power of God. Because I look at the ocean and I think, there's whales out there. God created beautiful things. God is awesome. I've prepared many messages on the beach. I take my Bible and I'm have my notepad, and I'm writing what I'm going to preach on, and God is awesome. Can I go to the beach and lust after all the women? No, we have a verse for that, right? So your question of can we go to the beach is fine. But here's where it moves on. What's your weakness? Okay, you can go to the beach. What if you have a real serious problem with keeping your heart pure? then maybe you shouldn't go to the beach. Right? See, that's where it is. It might go through 1 and 2 for you. And I've prepared messages and they were good. On the beach. God, you're awesome. You know? But if it's a weakness issue, you need to find something else to do. Go to a private beach. Go to Strathmere. I love Strathmere. Less people. And it's free. And I'm cheap. We already talked about that. How can you beat free, cheap, less people? I'm there. Good question. Anybody else? Did I answer? So if it's an issue, no. If it's not, yeah, it's okay. It's not inherently sinful. Now, of course, go to the beach, get drunk. Sinful, right? Because we've already dealt with that in another area. Go to the beach, lust, sinful in another area. Just going to the beach, though, is fine. Anybody else? Any other questions that you'd have? What's that? Gambling. Good one. Ah, gambling. Wow. Thou shalt not play the lottery. That verse isn't in the Bible, but I've heard pastors use the idea of if we're gambling, if we're playing the lottery and hoping that'll provide for our needs, we're not trusting in Jesus. I think there's a lot of truth in there from the perspective of if you're gambling, playing the lottery is gambling, right? If you're doing that as providing for your needs, and it's a heart issue, like this is your provider, is the magic ticket that you scratch off or whatever, I think you could find yourself worshiping that idol and not Jesus. Is it wrong to buy a lottery ticket? I don't. For me, it's a conscience issue. It's number 2. And to just be very honest with you, for me, I have this weird thought that I can get lucky, which isn't true. But I think this would fall in the area of number 3 for myself. Because I think if I open that door with gambling, I think for me it could be something where I think the next card's going to win. The next card's going to win. The next card's going to win. Yeah. My wife's reminded me. There was it's a fake casino, but in Wildwood there's something they call a casino where you just win tickets for stuffed animals. And I was dropping a little quarter in this thing and it was jumping down the ski slope. And you were trying to win the stuffed animal. Well, it jumped through perfect, right through the 500 ticket thing. So I'm dropping it perfect. I said, honey, I'm going to get you this bear for like $3 and quarters. And I had it timed just right. They cheat. And the machine slowed down and all of a sudden it wasn't working anymore. And I ended up paying $30 for a little $10 stuffed animal. The funny thing is, just between us and everybody who downloads the message, right? We took the Sunday school class for a trip to the beach. Were you there, Pastor Bob? I don't know if you were there that day. We took the Sunday school class, and I didn't realize it, but I spent their pizza money trying to win a stuffed animal. So I had to go to the Mac machine to get more money out because I spent their pizza money thinking, I'm going to get lucky. And I think that might have been the Lord saying, yeah, you are not lucky and you need to stop.
That thing
cost
me
$60. Was it 60? I thought it was $30. Well, yeah. Well, it wasn't the kids' money. They didn't give me money. We were going to pay for their stuff. So I can't say I stole from the kids. That would have been worse. Give me your money now. I'm lucky. It wasn't that. But, you know, it's one of them things where you just kind of feel, I think I could feel lucky. And to be honest with you, I know of someone who this is life-shattering to them, where they felt lucky repeatedly. And they're $180,000 in debt because of the casinos. So can you go to heaven and drop a quarter in the machine? Yeah, I guess you can. I would just be careful. Does that make sense, Ivan? Does that make sense? So I think you can. And if you can handle it, it's okay. If you can go through these questions, it's okay. If you have a friend who's a gambler, don't do that. Don't take them. Can you go to the casinos and watch a show? Let's say your favorite country artist is playing at the casinos, which that's probably a sin, right? We could probably find a verse on country music. Okay. Yeah. But if you can't find a verse on country music, if they're playing down at the casinos, is that a sin because of where they're playing? Well, you got to go to a conscience issue. For you, you might say, you know what? Atlantic City changed when they built the casinos, and now it's prostitution and pawn shops and a lot of people who are poor and destitute. And you might refuse to go down there because you don't want to give money towards that whole area, which has hurt a lot of people. So for you, it might be a conscience issue. But for you, it might not be. Well, then you have to look at your weakness. What if you have a problem gambling? What if your heart is there? Then you should not go down anywhere near the machines because it might cause you to go do something you shouldn't do, right? Does that make sense? Or if you're okay with that at that point, you love Jesus, you're just going to go down and see the show and grab a dinner and you have no problems in that area, don't take your buddy who used to be a gambler. Don't invite him. Don't say, I'll keep an eye on him, because you might drop him off home afterwards, and he might get back in his car and run right back down there where you've tempted them. So you need to love your brother and say, you know what? Seeing some horrible country band isn't worth destroying your friend. It's not worth it. But for those of you who are Christians, and I guess you love country, as your pastor, be careful, but you might want to listen to as much of it as you can here, because they're not going to have country in heaven. So, you might want to get as much as you can of clean country, because there's no country in heaven. So, I know, right? So, can you buy a lottery ticket? Yeah, I guess. For me, I just wouldn't. It's a conscious issue, but I think it would lead to another ticket. Now, I've never had a problem gambling except that day. But I think I owe $5,000 in blackjack on my phone. Fake blackjack, not real blackjack. I don't owe anybody any money. You know how you just play for fun. And I'm like, oh yeah, lost. It's just I think the Lord's little reminder of, yeah, you're not lucky. You're never lucky. The ball will never land on black if you roll it. You roulette, so just don't. All right. Nobody else? Any other questions? All right. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer at this time. So why don't we go ahead and pray here. Jesus, we love you today. Lord, we thank you, God, for everything in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Lord, that you didn't... Contrary to what some people would think, God, you don't give us a million rules to follow. We have rules, but we also know they're good rules to protect us. And I pray for all of us that aren't real familiar with the Bible, that we would learn more about it and what it particularly says. I thank you, God, that many times in Scripture it actually speaks to specific situations today. That your word is very practical. But in those places where it really doesn't say, I thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth. And I pray that you would help us to follow you with our freedom, God. In love, that we would love you and we would love our neighbors and our friends. That we would care. And that if something would destroy them, we would just simply say no to it. And as Paul said, I'll never eat meat again. We would say, I'll never go bowling again, if it means destroying my brother. Or whatever that is, God, I pray that you would help us to make good decisions and to love you and to live lives of worship. And may we, God, always keep that in mind and actually fulfill Mark 12:30 that says, we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.